Hello and welcome to an InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast for October 23rd, 2007. My name is Joe Gladyszewski, joined here by Mike Eidelbus and Jess Myers, and we've got a lot to talk about as the season has hit its full stride. And we'll start in the West with the WCHA, and an impressive 8 teams find themselves ranked in the Inch Power Rankings, those being, of course, North Dakota, Denver, Colorado College, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan Tech, University of Minnesota Duluth, and the University of Alaska Anchorage Seawolves. I guess it would have been easier to say which teams are not ranked. But Jess, let's talk about the early stages. WCHA, many conference games played last week. Who looks to be for real, and who might not be sticking around the power rankings much longer?
Well, the happy early season stories are teams that not a lot of people expected much from. Alaska Anchorage being one, Minnesota Duluth being obviously another one. They've both gotten pretty good goaltending to start, and Anchorage especially is getting a ton of scoring from some young guys. Names like Josh London that, you know, you knew of before the year, but like Winston Daychief and Craig Parkinson and some of these guys that you hadn't heard of are doing some unexpected things. I don't know how long they'll be sticking around, frankly. You'd like to think, if you're an Anchorage fan, that this may be a breakout year and that youth movement that Dave Shayak has been working on is for real, but that's one I would, I guess, question how long they'll be around, just because I don't know. I don't know what they're like. Minnesota Duluth, the other one, I think I picked them for 8th in the league, and they're getting great goaltending out of Alex Stalock, which is what they expected last year, and he had a real up-and-down year. They're getting some scoring from unexpected sources. So the two suspects I would name as far as who's going to be around too long are those two. You joke that it might be easier to mention who's not among those 8 teams. The one team that surprises me that they're not there is St. Cloud State. I picked them a little higher than a lot of people did, and I think they're still potentially a very good team. They just kind of had a little rough going, had a big lead against Canisius 2 weeks ago and let the Golden Griffins come back to tie, and then got swept in Duluth last weekend, which I don't think they've been swept up there in about 10 years. They'd always played pretty well against the Bulldogs, so that was a surprise.
Is home ice that important? Colorado College got 4 points from Minnesota in the Springs, and the Bulldogs got 4 points, of course, the University of Minnesota Duluth Bulldogs got 4 points from St. Cloud up at the Deck.
I think it's pretty important. I've always said it's most important, or at least historically, you'd think it'd be most important at a place like Anchorage or Fairbanks, where it's a long trip and you're playing late at night or a lot later than you're used to. But, you know, the stats say it really hasn't been. You know, as I mentioned, St. Cloud has always had a real good record in Duluth, for example. As I mentioned, the power rankings this week, Minnesota now, since Don Lucci has been there, is 9-5-0 at Colorado College, and that's even after losing 2 games last week. So it doesn't seem to be as big a deal as you might make it out to be.
North Dakota hasn't allowed a goal yet. Thoughts on the Sioux, and they also haven't played 3 complete games, which is usually an indictment, but yeah, it's different this time.
Yeah, I think they have played 3 complete games. They haven't given up any goals. I mean, you know, we thought obviously scoring was going to be their strength this year, and they have obviously put up some goals. You know, when you can get held scoreless in 1 of your 3 games and still average 3 goals a game, you're doing something right. But Jean-Philippe Lamoureux, I guess as he's going by this year, all of a sudden he added another name and a hyphen. You know, he's looked great, and
wasn't,
I think a lot of people
wasn't long enough to type.
Yeah, exactly. And then it wasn't. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, you know, I think most people probably tuned into you know, at least part of that North Dakota Boston College game on Friday, and you know, he looked great, I thought. You know, he's kind of, you know, he's a quick goalie side to side. And, you know, the one thing that I kind of learned about him last year in talking with him, you know, at the NCAA West Regional after they advanced by beating Michigan and Minnesota, is he really is the kind of guy, you know, I think everybody looks at that team and says, okay, the, you know, the goaltending is probably the weak link with Lamoureux. And I think he really kind of carries that around with him and has a chip on his shoulder and uses it to his advantage and uses it as motivation. You know, clearly goaltending isn't the weak link on this team. At this point in time, I don't know that there is one. You know, maybe the only thing that'll create a weakness is injuries down the road, because, you know, they look almost unbeatable, I think. Obviously, if you can't score on them, it's going to be pretty tough to beat them. But, it seems like they've really got some focus and they're on a mission. And I thought they played pretty well on Friday for two periods.
Things have gone their way. It's a long season, for sure. Another team, Bus, that you and I were talking about when we were putting the power rankings together this week was the Miami Redhawks and what they've done so far. And earlier today we talked a little bit about Nathan Davis. He hasn't played. And is that going to possibly discredit his Hobie candidacy that the Miami team is doing so much and doing so well early in the season without him on the ice?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting thought that sprang up this afternoon, and I think that, you know, Miami has traditionally gotten off to a real fast start. And, you know, Jeff Zadkoff finally now is the number one goalie. Charlie Effinger, who he had split time with over the past 2 years, has now been relegated to strictly a backup role, and Zadkoff's been great as the number one guy. He's given up by, I think, one goal in each of the four games that the Redhawks have played thus far. I don't know if it discredits Davis's Hobie campaign, him not being around as they get off to this great start. But the one thing I think is that it's really allowed some other players to get going and become of get chances maybe to play where they otherwise wouldn't have had those chances. You know, I think of a guy like the freshman Carter Camper, who's I think got four assists right out of the gate. Tommy Wingels is another freshman who's on Camper's line, and I think he's got three goals and an assist right out of the gate. So, you know, they're getting a lot of contributions, and they're developing kind of a nice complement to that line of, once Davis gets healthy, he and Ryan Jones and these other guys are stepping up and filling in. And, you know, I think eventually, you know, looking at it long term in that scenario, I think it's ultimately going to be a good thing for Miami.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Michigan State kind of bounced back from a one-sided loss at North Dakota and put two pretty good beatings on Colgate over the weekend. What's the status of the Spartans, and are they in a position now where they can move forward after the national championship and kind of just get into the season?
I think so. I think that there was, I think with any championship, there's a little bit of a hangover as you come into the next season, and maybe the best thing that happened to him was going to North Dakota and getting drilled. Kind of the alarm went off. You know, they had the banner raising at Munn last Friday, and you know, that really kind of put the bow on the whole thing and said, all right, now we can, you know, the festivities are done with. It's time for us to embark on the on another journey and try and defend it. And I liked what I saw from them. I saw most of the game that they played against Colgate on Friday. They really just came out right off the bat with a lot of focus, and you know, it was very quickly, you know, 22, 23 minutes into the game, 5-0. I mean, they just had a resolve. I think that they're probably more talented than they are than they were last year. And I think more explosive offensively. Defensively, I'm not sure, but they've got Lurg in the goal, and you know, obviously he's his success is well documented. I think talent-wise, they have a chance to be better but they, I think they, you know, they lost a lot of character guys from last year, and you know, whether that hurts them or not remains to be seen. But certainly, I think from a just from a pure talent standpoint, they are better off than they were last season.
One team that I'm interested in seeing this weekend, not in person, but kind of following what goes on, is the New Hampshire Wildcats. They had some questions, some losses, especially at the forward positions last year. Brought in some very strong recruits. Everyone knows about James Van Riemsdyk, and they started their season with a 4-1 win against Boston University. We're really not sure what that means right now. B is another very young team. But I think we'll find out a lot this weekend when New Hampshire and Colorado College play up in New Hampshire. That's two teams that really got off to good starts, and we'll see how they respond once they get into a situation where there's some adversity. I mean, Colorado College is playing on the road for the first time, a non-league opponent that you may be a little less familiar with. So that'll be, I think we'll learn more about both of those two teams this weekend. And Boston U, on the other hand, we talked about this in our ESPN chat last week, you think eventually they think they'll get there, but it's going to be a little while they work some new guys in. And they're playing a team that has some similar issues as far as developing talent and getting new players accustomed to college hockey and finding roles for them, and that's the Michigan Wolverines, two very very alluring non-league series this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, there are a lot of similarities obviously between Michigan and Boston U. You know, I think that Yost is a tough place for any team to play, but especially a young team like Boston U, and a team that really doesn't have it, is trying to kind of work out some goalie issues here early in the season as they figure out who's going to be a replacement for John Curry. And, you know, he kind of, I'm thinking of Boston U in comparison to another young team in Wisconsin, which, you know, obviously looked great last week against Robert Morris. But, you know, you look at BU's schedule right away. They played in, you know, New Hampshire last week. They opened in Anchorage, you know, so they flew across the continent with all these young guys to play, you know, a tournament 4 or 5 time zones away, whatever it is, you know, which I think probably attributes to a little bit to their rough start. And then, Jess, you've got Wisconsin, who, you know, goes down to Dayton, beats Notre Dame, loses to Ohio State, and just dominates Robert Morris. Not a terrible team, obviously, by any stretch, last weekend in Madison.
Yeah, Wisconsin, with the way they're scoring, has really surprised me. I mean, I thought they'd be pretty good defensively, and I picked them lower than maybe, you know, I maybe underrated them just based on the fact that I didn't know who was going to score goals. I didn't know that the rookies could come in and have as much of an offensive impact as they have, at least early on. Well, now you look at the stats, and after 4 games, Kyle Turris has 12 points. I mean, that's just a ridiculous pace. Yeah, granted, you know, they ran up the score to some certain extent against Robert Morris, 7 goals one night, 8 goals the next night. But, you know, they're not giving up many goals either. So that's looking like, you know, maybe a better team than I anticipated, and maybe that a lot of people anticipated.
You know, about Turris, I think people expected him to get his points. And I caught a little bit of there of Wisconsin 2 on Friday night against Robert Morrison, and he had a goal that was just, you know, I want to say Heatley-esque, where he blasted away from the top of the near faceoff circle in the offensive zone while he's skating in on the wing, and he beat the goalie over his glove on the short side. It was just ridiculous. I mean, it was, and there was like a 1 second left in the second period, but kind of getting back to the original point, and, you know, you might be able to find it on YouTube, I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's some highlights of Turris floating around there already. I think people expected him to get his points, but they maybe didn't expect his play to raise the level of everybody else on the team, because I think that's kind of what's going on. If you look at their, you know, Ben Streets up there scoring points, and obviously I think he's on Turris's line, but you know, Jeffrey had a 4 or 5 point game against Robert Morris. You know, like you said, Jess, everybody else is pitching in as well. And, I don't know if it's a case of Turris being so good that he raises everybody else's level of play, but I think it's certainly a trend to watch with Wisconsin as we get deeper and deeper into the season.
The Badgers host Michigan Tech this weekend, two of those teams that moved kind of up in our estimation in the early going. We'll find
you had 1 week. North Dakota's at Michigan Tech this week. So the Badgers, I would almost think that that's maybe a bad thing for Wisconsin. They're playing so well. I don't know that you want a bye week this early in the season. I mean, you probably want to get right back out there on the ice and keep going after it, because there's not a lot that needs to be corrected on that team so far.
Well, what I've heard is that some of the coaches I've talked to, they actually like that time. Sometimes when you've got too many games early, it doesn't matter how you're playing, you're not teaching what needs to be learned, and it hurts you in February and January because you don't have that early season time to kind of develop a system and develop a pattern. So there could be another side to that story.
Besides, if you're going to have a bye week in Madison, you might as well have it be this weekend, right?
Right around Halloween.
Yeah, weekend before Thanksgiving, or weekend before Halloween.
A lot of time to pick out costumes and...
Well, and other things.
A six-game homestand, that's not a bad thing at all either for Wisconsin, for a young team early in the season.
And doesn't North Dakota wrap up that six-game homestand?
Yeah, they'll be off this week, then they've got Michigan Tech for two, and then North Dakota for two on November 9th and 10th.
Yes.
And then they're at Colorado College, and then at the College Hockey Showcase against Michigan and Michigan State. So that'll be a tough six-game stretch, certainly, that North Dakota CC and Showcase combo. Boston College, Boss, your thoughts on the Eagles right now? They had they played very strong tournament field up at the Icebreaker, losing to Michigan in overtime, beating Rensselaer. Then they tied North Dakota at home and tied Vermont on the road, which is, again, not an easy place to play. 1-1-2 doesn't look real impressive, but you look at the schedule and it's maybe nothing to be ashamed of, for sure.
No, I would agree, and you take into account that they've got a couple guys suspended and an injury that has... their lineup is right now at least missing three regulars, and I don't know the status of the suspended guys as we talk right now on Tuesday evening or Tuesday night, but that is a really it's a really difficult schedule to start out. You're in St. Paul for two games and two difficult games, and obviously Michigan was an overtime game, and I don't think, just what I've seen from Rensselaer, I don't think they're a very easy team to play against.
They'll be all right.
I think if you play against Rensselaer, you better pack a lunch, because you're going to spend a lot of time battling. And that's a good thing and a credit to what Seth Appert's done there. But then they come back, obviously, for this North Dakota game, and, obviously, the game wasn't completed, but just a long, drawn-out night with the two power outages, and you're starting late to begin with, and then to have to recover and go on a Sunday afternoon, which typically is an off day, and go play at Vermont. That's a pretty difficult stretch of games, and to be missing three regulars and kind of breaking in a new goalie who hasn't played too terribly bad right off the start. There's nothing wrong with 1-1-2. I think, given the teams that they've played and kind of where they've been and the circumstances that they've had to deal with, 1-1-2 doesn't look too bad right about now.
And they run into the Buzzsaw Merrimack Warriors this weekend.
Break them up.
Home and home. Merrimack 3-0-0 has claimed the early lead in College Hockey America. But they're in Hockey East, unfortunately. Merrimack has a win over Niagara and two at Bemidji State, which, those are good road wins right there. That's good wins on the
Nice for the Warriors to step up to save the cha for another year.
Cha, cha, cha. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Merrimack 3-0-0. Credit down there for sure.
You think, we talked about Alaska being a tough road trip. Now Bemidji is a tough road trip.
Yeah.
I think there's some canoeing involved in getting to Bemidji.
Anchorage has an airport. I have flown actually into the Bemidji airport before, but it's
on a crop duster.
There aren't a lot of non-stops, let's just put it that way.
No. Was it a two-seater?
Let's just say there wasn't one of those awesome leather hats and a scarf. There wasn't in-flight beverage service, let's just put it that way. Other than what was in my pocket.
Wow.
You guys want to talk about Notre Dame weather? Is that right? Well, let's first talk about Notre Dame. Mike, you know, you and I were in South Bend on Thursday night, and aside from the weather, was I the only one impressed by Jordan Pierce? I mean, you talk about a team with a goaltending question. I thought he looked like a pretty solid goalie.
Good question. I think he's adequate, which I think on that team is okay because they're a pretty talented club. With David Brown being, you know, obviously the big loss, they did lose some a few guys on defense with especially Noah Babin and Wes O'Neill, but you know up front they're good, and I think that the Kyle Austin's a good defenseman. They were, I think, thoroughly outplayed on Thursday in that first period by Denver, and you know, just like Coach Gwozdecki, George Gwozdecki said after that game, it probably should have been 4-1, as opposed to 2-1. But
Coach Gwozdecki was none too pleased with his club's effort. I got the feeling, you know, just talked a lot about not playing with the necessary urgency, you know, in somebody else's building to take, you know, a game where they obviously had an opportunity to take control early and just didn't.
You're right, and it was a very evenly matched game, but Pierce, he does what he, you know, if he gives up 2-3 goals a game, I think Notre Dame will be fine. I think that they're maybe a little bit better offensively than people tend to give them credit for. With the Condra line, with Thang and Deeth, they stayed together, and
that third line impressed me. Mark Van Gilder at center, and then freshman named Ben Ryan on the right wing.
In fact, that
to me looks like a pretty impressive offensive unit.
Well, and Garrett Regan is really one of those guys. He's one of those in front of the net guys. He's going to score a lot of basically Phil Esposito goals, you know, just garbage.
Dave Anderchuk.
And picking up, he's gonna score slop goals, but, I mean, they count the same. And, in fact, Notre Dame played tonight. They beat Bowling Green 4-2, and, you know, Regan again, you know, somehow poked the puck underneath the BG goalie, and it goes in. So now they've really got two fairly potent scoring lines, and the fact that they kind of do it in different styles, I think, gives them a little bit of an edge. And then, you know, their special teams have been great too. Their power play was really good on Thursday against Denver, and they lost Friday 3-1, but I still think the goal was a power play goal. And then they got a couple more power play goals tonight and a shorty. So, it'll come together for them. I think Pierce just has to be adequate. He doesn't have to be David Brown.
I got to give, since we're talking about Notre Dame quick, I got to give one quick shout-out. We mentioned Bemidji earlier. Last Thursday night, my wife and I and Paul Shaheen, who is a sometime contributor to InsideCollegeHockey.com, made the trip to South Bend, and Bemidji native Dave Smith, who is a psychology professor at the University of Notre Dame, gave us a nice tour of the campus. Never been there before, and was duly impressed. Pretty special place, especially on a nice fall night with the sun setting over the lake and the light hitting the grotto just right. So, good time, and thank you to Dave Smith for giving us a nice tour. and the trees uprooted spiraling overhead.
Yeah.
Well, that was later.
That was about when I showed up.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lovely night, and then Mike showed up, and pretty soon they were evacuating the building.
When I'm walking to
tornado.
When I walk to the rink, and Jess calls. Actually, I'm not walking to the rink. I'm driving to the rink. First of all, heading down the Indiana Toll Road, and Jess
it's a
calls
long walk
me
from a Holt.
And Jess calls me, and I'm like, telling him I'm about 20 minutes away, and I'm like, "What's the weather like there?" Because it's getting pretty ominous where I was driving in from the east into South Bend. He's like, "Oh, it's beautiful here." Well, I kind of look up in the sky a little bit, and there's this little hole of blue sky over South Bend, and it's just black around it, completely black. And I'm like, the first thing I'm thinking is, well, that's good for Jess. They've got. And I'm like, then the second thing I'm like, are they in the eye of something over there? Is there some sort of weather past pattern that I don't? Is some sort of mini hurricane come off of Lake Michigan that I should know about? But then when I get to campus and park my car, did the heavens just unleashed? And it was just
Mike walks in the press box. He looks like he just stepped out of the shower. And I said, "Is it raining outside?" And he was just soaked.
And
it had been just beautiful when I had walked in, a half hour earlier. So.
And I had an umbrella, but I made it about 100 yards, and not only did it turn inside out, but the whole top just came right off.
Nice.
So
shopping at IKEA again.
And it flew away. So actually, it was a Fox Sports net umbrella. So.
Ooh.
If we have any Fox Sports Net listeners out there, I could stand a new golf umbrella.
And write to us at inch@insidecollegehockey.com.
If you got any,
if you feel like donating umbrellas to the
We used to have an MIT one that we bought in Boston when we were on vacation there one April, but I can't find that one either. So I can't use my MIT one either. So now I'm. Now I'm down to, a Kroger plastic shopping bag, I guess.
Folder over the head and run fast.
Yeah.
Well, I know we don't want to get too much into the weather thing, but they did order the arena evacuated after the second period because of this tornado warning. And to our credit, Inch will go to any length to bring you the story. Mike and I stuck tough in the press box. We refused to leave. We were embedded. We were hunkered down. We were in for the long haul. But
sounds like you were lazy.
Well, there was that too. Yeah, all right. Absolutely. But the scene that will always stick with me is the Zamboni drivers had already driven out onto the ice when they announced you got to clear the arena. Well, they just hop off the Zambonis and leave. So it's one of those like post-apocalyptic nuclear war scenes with the abandoned cars on the freeway. Except there are these two Zambonis sitting in the middle of the ice with no drivers. Well, it's like, wow.
And thankfully they shut the water off on them.
Yeah. Well, you guys could have made yourselves useful then. Just get on and make ice.
You know, the funny thing is that we're sitting in the press box, which, if you haven't been to Notre Dame, their rink is a pretty interesting setup in this gigantic dome, one corner of a gigantic dome. And the press box is kind of this, the top level of this, for lack of a better term, concrete bunker that sits at the top of the one side of permanent stands. And then they tell everybody to get out, and I'm kind of looking around, and they're sending everybody out into this dome, and meanwhile, you're standing in the press box in this concrete bunker, and you're thinking, at least I was thinking, why would I get out? I think I'm pretty safe right here. I think this is probably the best place to be, as opposed to going under this giant freestanding dome of steel and whatever it's made out of that's, sits 60 feet and off the floor in its highest spot. I felt better in the press box than I did standing under these girders and whatnot. But
if it happens again and I'm there, I'm going to the grotto. You got those candles to keep you warm. It's made of solid rock. It's kind of tucked down
the
way there.
There's a candle thing on Notre Dame's campus?
That's the rumor, yeah.
You didn't know that?
Oh, sweet.
And you call yourself Catholic?
Yeah.
Wow. We got this golden dome, too. Did you know about that?
It's a replica of it's the grotto someplace in Europe. I don't know where it is.
Lourdes.
Oh
yeah.
Lourdes in
France. In France, right? Is that what you said?
In France, yeah. I've always thought we should add a theology section to our podcast.
Yeah.
This is long overdue.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've got...
Well, then, in that case, let me segue into the theology of Inch, which I have to make a remark, and thank you for brightening my day, for lack of a better term. 2 weeks ago, well, 2.5 weeks ago, saw Clarkson and St. Lawrence play in the first game of the season up at St. Lawrence's Appleton Arena. It's a gorgeous Sunday afternoon in the fall, and I had one problem with what was going on. I'm walking into the rink, looking around two huge parking lots. There were no tailgaters. This was about a half hour before face-off. Nobody. Perfect day.
They were inside.
Couple Pepsis, you know, whatever it might have been. Just, you know, enjoy the weather, enjoy the leaves changing, and it's just a perfect day. It was not part of the St. Lawrence hockey culture. Obviously. But this past Saturday.
Don't they know about beer darts?
If they read Inch, they do know about beer darts.
They sure should.
Anyway, this past Saturday, Clarkson and St. Lawrence meet again, this time at Shiel Arena in Potsdam, home of the Golden Knights. And two guys, big podcast fans, I'm sure they're listening to this one, Goody and Newman, actually... somehow found my phone number and gave me a call, invited me to their tailgate party before the Saints and Knights game, and pronounced their tailgate as Conroyville in honor of former Clarkson Golden Knight great Craig Conroy.
Outstanding.
Calgary Flames. Now he's from Calgary, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
I'm going to say
Clarkson
yes.
Wins 5-4 in OT after falling behind 3-0 in that game, but... for capturing the spirit of the thing, hello and great job goes out to two podcast listeners in Potsdam, New York, Goody and Newman.
Send pictures. We'll,
send pictures, guys.
Send pictures to anybody. If anybody's tailgating, I want to see this.
Yeah,
there's a few
tailgate.
There's a few people out there who tailgate. I know that. I know this as a fact. I've been to one or two.
That's a Western thing, though, I think. Tailgating in general is a Western thing. Midwestern, but in college hockey world, Western.
I would agree. I think, you think Wisconsin, you think kind of, you know, tailgating country, you think Minnesota, et cetera.
Michigan,
absolutely. Tailgated in East Lansing one time. You guys were there.
Good job to Union. Started their season with a sweep of Ferris State at home. We'll have more on the Dutchman in this week's ECAC Hockey Notebook.
Yeah, what's the name of that league now, by the way?
ECAC Hockey.
So the L is gone.
Is no longer a part of the proper noun.
ECACH. Yeah, okay.
E-cash.
E-catch.
Could, yeah.
It just doesn't have the ring, the old ring of the chill.
The chill. I still may refer to it as the chill from time to time. Yeah, ECAC hockey. And four ECAC hockey teams going to Albany for rehearsal for March.
Rehearsal.
If they're fortunate enough to make it back there. Union, Rensselaer, Colgate, and St. Lawrence playing in the Governor's Cup, Citizens Bank Governor's Cup Classic this weekend at the Times Union Arena. Man, they keep changing the name of everything in this league.
It's not the Pepsi Arena anymore?
No, man. Times Union.
Wow.
It's Royal Crown Arena now.
Did the Times Union also buy rights on the one in Denver?
No.
No, I don't think so.
That would be great. But what if they did? Think about it.
That would be great.
For extensive Avalanche coverage, please read the Albany, New York Times Union.
I
on your doorstep
this.
3 days later.
Exactly. log on to albany.com.
Yeah. All right. Any other podcast fodder? We really didn't deteriorate, so
I think Air Force deserves a quick shout out for their nice start. You know, proving that maybe they've got some staying power among NCAA qualifier teams that maybe they weren't a one hit wonder and may make a little noise this year before it's all over again.
Indeed.
I think you're right.
4-1 and 3-1 wins over Quinnipiac.
The Q, yes.
Bobcats kind of find themselves in a little BU Michigan kind of a deal. They'll be fine later, but they got some answers they've got to find first, early in the season. But they'll be fine later in the year. Heard it here on the Inch Podcast.
We, speaking of which, we got an email from a listener, not pleased with our decision to go to an every other week format with the podcast.
Yes.
I have to say I agree, because I forget the stuff that happened last week. You know what I'm saying?
Read InsideCollegeHockey.com.
It's too hard to remember.
You miss a week. If you miss a week, you miss a lot.
It's too hard to remember stuff for 2 weeks, though.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a binge and purge guy, so.
So is Paris Hilton. Glad he had next week's WCHA schedule up. Maybe he wants to go to it every 3 weeks.
Yeah, I guess so. Steve, now we're looking 2 weeks ahead. We're not going to be able to recap all the great stuff that happens this weekend, because we'll be thinking about the weekend of November 3rd and 4th.
More podcasts are better.
That's pretty much what I'm saying.
However,
there is a lot.
Let me guess, Mike, was the guy who sent that email, had he ever heard one of our podcasts? That's what I'm saying. Or maybe he works for some place that like sells podcast technology.
Yeah, he's
crank up his stock price before Christmas bonus time rolls around.
Exactly.
He sells them on the black market. Like these pirate,
he's
got these pirate Transformer DVDs and then the Inch Podcast. That's great.
So what a black market podcast would sound like. Well, you're listening to one now.
Yeah, exactly. It's like pirate radio.
Is this the same guy we brought our own, bought our own broadcasting rights from us?
We got outbid. We got outbid
for your own broadcast.
That sounds like something the Big Ten would do.
All right, now we're fully into deterioration. We'll have podcasts. Mostly, how about if we say most weeks we'll have podcasts?
Can I say most weeks I'll have notebooks?
No,
that is not part of the deal.
Darn it!
I think we can commit to most weeks.
Most weeks we will have a podcast.
It's like most, you know.
Well, we got some holiday weeks. We've got some. Just kind of schedule kind of dissipates a little bit during the December recess. Other than the holiday tournaments,
we kind of scatter during the holidays. I'm scattering for before Thanksgiving, for a little
I'm
bit.
I'm scattering after Thanksgiving.
You are? Where are you going?
Vegas, baby, Vegas.
Anybody else scatter? Deer hunting, or is that just me?
That's neat. Unless I hit one with my car, that would just be you.
Deer hunting, I'm doing some of that.
I had a deer run into the side of my car this summer and cost $500 worth of damage that I had to pay for out of pocket.
To the deer?
Because I like to. No, to my car.
Oh.
The deer ran away, and it did like 2,000 the damage, but I had to pay $500 of it as a deductible. So I tell people that this year, for the first time ever, I'm going deer hunting solely for revenge.
You should have had the deer pay for it. Wasn't he covered?
I'm an angry man with a rifle when I get to the woods.
Do you bow hunt at all, Jess? What?
No, I do not. Oh. I know people that do. Sounds like it's a fun sport.
Too sporting.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much work.
It's way too far.
He just puts IEDs out in the woods.
Wow. Great idea.
Various woodland creatures.
That would save a ton of time.
It's more like one of those big, it's kind of like one of those big dragnets they use in the ocean. You just sweep everything and you get a few woodchucks, a squirrel or two, a raccoon.
Sure.
A marmot.
Sure.
I'm picturing Jess like Uncle Jimbo from South Park. It's coming right for us!
Respect my authority!
Uncle Jimbo, the famous line, you gotta have a beer because hunting sober is like fishing sober. Exactly.
No, in no way are we endorsing that.
No, absolutely not.
Alcohol is bad.
In all seriousness, as a guy who's hunted all my life, I have never understood people who drink to excess while hunting. I mean, there are plenty of times you drink to excess. I mean, I have. Why you want to do it when you have a loaded firearm, I don't get that. But that's just me.
Well, public service announcement has ended.
I used to hunt, and I usually just fell asleep. To be honest with you, I don't think I ever really.
That's kind of a dirty secret of deer hunting. Sleeping is a big factor.
Yeah,
you know, you're out in the woods, you're all bundled up, nice and warm. It's super quiet. You know.
Oh yeah, you're just nodding off.
It's la la land.
Mm-hmm.
I've never hunted.
Have you gathered?
Let me consult my attorney before I answer that question.
try the gathering. If it goes well, we'll move up to the hunting.
He's going to take a nice long walk this weekend and pick some berries.
I went apple picking. Does that count?
That counts. Oh, no. That counts. That's flora, not fauna. But
there we go. That's my fall outdoors activities: apple picking and golf.
And
if we're gonna do a podcast every week, we're gonna have to include an outdoors report over time.
I'll start reading some Solunar tables.
How can we have an outdoors report if you guys won't evacuate the building?
I want to be in the outdoors. I don't want to die there.
Bah. It's part of the fun.
Yeah,
danger is my middle name.
The crappies are biting on waxworms and in about 8 to 10 feet of water.
Nice. With that, I think we'll conclude the October 23rd, 2007.
You're doing it again.
Feels like it started 4 days ago.
Hey, who won that CC New Hampshire game? Don't tell me how it ends. I got a T-vote.
I can tell you who won St. Cloud, Michigan Tech. Huskies.
Huskies. Same with UMD and Ferris State.
Bulldogs victory.
Big win for the team in maroon and gold.
All right. Thanks for listening to the InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast. Great to be back in the middle of the season. We will podcast soon for your listening entertainment.